You're listening to WNJC 1360 AM in Washington Township, New Jersey, and on the web at WNJC1360.com.
WNJC 1360 AM broadcasting in the Philadelphia area and worldwide on the internet on WNJC1360.com. This is the Bear Haggerty Offensive. We're discussing various issues, and what we're going to do here is have a guest come on who's very familiar with these issues. And here on Repatriot Radio, we're going to cover the press conference of Sheriff Arpaio yesterday, and with a local Pennsylvania resident who is very familiar with these issues, Commander Charles Kirshner. Charlie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Glad to be here, gentlemen.
Hey, it's great having you, Commander Kirshner. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing there, Mr. Bear?
So, Commander Kirshner, what do you think about yesterday's performance?
Oh, yeah, just a quick footnote, Dan.
I wouldn't call it a performance. It was a very professionally done presentation. But, you know, there wasn't a lot of new information provided if you've been very closely following this for the last 4 years, which I have and you people have. But it's new to the general public, I'm sure. But one thing that did come out yesterday, a few little things and one big thing, but the big thing that came out is that the investigation has moved from probable cause that the document placed on the White House servers and government property last April 2011, from probable cause that they were forgeries, to the definitive statement that they are a fraud. It is a forgery. I mean, they moved from "we think it's a forgery" to "it's absolutely a forgery," and they're proving it basically with digital forensic analysis and just looking at the data entries on the document itself that are contradictory, and therefore the document is contradicts itself on its face and is a fraud. The data entered onto it is proving it's a fraud.
Wow. So yeah, it's like you said, it's moved beyond. Well, it was never really in the realm of speculation. They had so much evidence even in the beginning, and certainly by the March 1st press conference, that it was beyond speculation. It was at the very least, I think they were being conservative, saying that there's reasonable suspicion or probable cause. But at this point,
definitive now, they're saying absolutely it's a forgery. Now you and I knew that since. I knew it within 24 hours of it being released. In fact, I was on a radio show 2 hours after it released, and I even said on that show, my initial analysis reveals that there's layers in the document, and that should not be there from a scan. And that's one thing they talked about yesterday, is this layers issue, that computers can create layers under certain circumstances as part of a compression algorithm process. But that the layers in Obama's document are intelligent layers. They're not the kind of layers that computers create to compress a file. That, you know, you have the stamp for the Hawaiian Registrar, for example, is on a layer all by itself, and you can move it around, rotate it, enlarge it, shrink it. I mean, it was obviously imported from another. In fact, it has links to it showing it was imported from another document. So this was a digitally manufactured PDF file, and probably the first time this document existed on paper when somebody hit the print key of the PDF file and printed it out and then put a phony seal on it and then waved it around at the press conference. I mean, the chicken and the egg, this PDF file probably came first.
So, Commander Kirk, give us a little rundown on how the press conference went, and anything that was without just going through what we've discussed before. I mean, to some of our listeners, it's new information, but to many of our listeners, they're probably pretty informed about this. This press conference was billed as going to be a real blockbuster event. I think I was a little disappointed that it was not what I expected. I expected something more definitive.
They were going to reveal the name of the forger myself, but
I thought it was going to be something more definitive. I mean, and I've consulted with another attorney on this who's been very involved with the details of this case, and he said, you know, it was presented as if you were going to present it to a judge, an honest judge with some character, that is, in a courtroom, and he said it was presented like just more evidence in a trial, and that's really how they presented it. They obviously went out of their way to present a very dispassionate presentation, really. I mean, they didn't, it wasn't really highly emotional. It wasn't what I would have done, I don't think, or what you probably would have done at this point.
It was an evidence presentation, and it was very professionally done. I wasn't disappointed from that point of view, but I was disappointed that the new blockbuster information wasn't revealed. The two things that I saw that were revealed, in addition to the statement that they've gone from probable cause to definitive statement that's a forgery, that they found the actual registrar who signed the alleged, you know, the name that's on this forged document, since it is a forgery, she didn't actually sign that forgery, but they got her name on that forgery. They actually found her. She's alive. She's 95 years old, and this is the infamous UK Lee signature on the bottom, which actually is, the U is a V, and it stands for Werner K.L. Lee, and so it's a real person, and you know, I had known that already, but I'm sure the world didn't know that. But she's alive, and she said, and she explained the coding on the little pencil mark codings on the documents and Hawaiian birth certificates, and that in Obama's the codes indicate the field should be blank, and yet there's information in them. So somebody retroactively put information in the original birth certificate that was not there initially when it was coded. So that was I was aware of that before too through writings of a gentleman on a blog called The Daily Pen back in February of this year. He's the one that broke that information, but very few people read all these researchers. I do, and therefore I knew about this coding discrepancy, but they made it very clear and very, very well done how they presented it, that code, that pencil code mark in that block indicated when the person was coding it, that field was blank. Now, the word African is typed in there. So somebody has go back retroactively and entered something into the field. Right. They also found a retired physician who used to work in Kapalani, and he told them of the existence of a logbook that every woman who went into delivery wing of the hospital or clinic back then, they'd log in her name and the time that she went into the delivery room. And that logbook was spanned a 2-year period, and they get a new logbook. And they said these logbooks are in the archive of the Kapalani Hospital, and that if they would have been able to have access to that, that if Obama was born at Kapalani, which all the evidence indicates he wasn't, that they would find Stanley Ann Dunham Sotaro's name in that logbook as being admitted to the maternity section of the delivery room section of the that clinic. The Kapalani Hospital would not let him into the archives, which is allegedly is open to the public. They identified themselves who they were, that they were police persons there looking, they wanted to go into the archives and look at some of the old records. They would not let them in there. So they're hiding that logbook. You know, obviously if Stanley Ann Dunham's name was in that logbook entered by a nurse as being admitted to the delivery room that day, they would show the world, you know, but they don't want them to see the logbook. So that was an interesting tidbit to come out. That's sort of one that I heard about, you know, why can't they see hospital records, but I didn't know specifically there was a logbook, and it's in a public archive somewhere, but it's public, but nobody's allowed to get in there. So that was kind of curious.
Commander Kirshner, again, this is a case of evidence that could shed some light on what's going on here,
right,
being withheld.
So if that logbook showed Stanley Ann going into that maternity wing that day or that week, they would bring it out and show it to the world. but she's not on it, obviously. They don't want anybody to see it. And if it ever does show up, they may, like, have ripped the page out, so to speak, to say, well, somebody ripped the page out. We don't know if she was here or not here. You know what I mean?
Logate the page logbook excuse, right?
Or make a fake logbook. That'd be easier to do than a fake microfilm. That might be the next step.
Just
now, as far as what happened, the press conference started out with a recap of the March 1st press conference. And if you go to my blog, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com, that's C-D-R Kirchner, K-E-R-C-H-N-E-R, all in words, cdrkirchner.wordpress.com, you can see a full, you can watch the whole hour and 15 minute on podcast. I have a link there. But also I have five of the videos that were shown in the presentation on five different areas, and that as they went through the presentation. The first video they show was a recap of the March 1st presentation. Then he did a video and talked about this coding issue where a person who gets a birth certificate from a hospital or one of the external other four birth registration centers, they're all brought into the central office, and at the end of the month, according to this 95-year-old lady who was in charge of doing this, and she's the one that signed, allegedly, you know, signed Obama's, they would sort them geographically, and they would after geographically sorting, they would subsort them within each geographic pile by chronological order. And they put these codes in the fields based on the federal government's requirements, for race, you put a certain number in there, and 9 in that block meant that the race was not stated, okay? So in Obama's forged one, it says he's African.
Medicare, well, that's beyond dispute with that 9, right? According to
yes, beyond dispute.
Have the
9 meant there was nothing in the field; it was not stated.
But I mean the investigators have the government books, the federal
yeah,
book.
Yeah, they have the government book plus the verbal interview with
right.
the actual person who did this back then.
No second. The number 9 next to that box means that the information was not entered.
Was not
correct?
Provided.
Okay.
Not stated. In other words, the field was blank. Also, that would be block 9 on the long form birth certificate for race of father, and also 12B, kind of industry or business of the father. The word university is in there now, but the 9 was there in the pencil marks, which indicate that field was blank too. So
document has
basically the original. We are not seeing the original document. There's no way because it would have been blank in those two fields.
Okay, so there's internal inconsistencies with the document. Within the document.
Yes, the document itself, the marks and indications on the document that was allegedly done contemporaneously back in August of 1961 contradict itself. It's self-contradictory. There's information being shown there that's saying it was there, but other marks on the document say it was nothing there.
Should have been nothing there, right?
Should have been nothing there. They're saying it was nothing. The 9 means there was nothing there. It was blank.
From African, there's been a lot of
somebody after the fact went in there and put it in later.
There's been a lot of speculation for a long time, including when the original certification of live birth, the CULB as we called it, was released in 2008, I believe.
Yeah, and that's interesting because it wasn't released by the Obama campaign. It magically showed up by a blog called The Daily Cause.
Right,
but how did they get it?
Well, anyway, that says I believe that says African too, correct?
And that was a forgery.
Okay,
so I think that when they came out with a long form, Obama was forced.
What I'm saying is
to be consistent, they had to insert the word African into the long form because the short form said it. So whoever forged the short form didn't want to say Negro or not provided when they created that short form forgery. So they put African in there, which is a modern term, for allegedly. It's a continent. It's not a race. But anyway, I think what you have here is that once the lie has begun, it doesn't stop until all have joined the fun. That short form being a forgery had some inconsistencies on there that they had to make the long form match.
Right. So for 4 years, we've been speculating about the term African seemed like a, first of all, it's not a race. It seemed like a very odd term to have been used in 1961.
Right.
Speculation is obviously correct, because also I believe you could expound on this a bit, that the investigators, our PIO's investigators, have determined beyond any doubt that the term African was not used until 1989, I believe,
correct.
Or 86. Is that correct?
It was made by federal, I don't know, executive order or whatever, declared to be a race. Well, African is not a race. It's a continent.
It's almost...
They made it a race in 1989. But prior to that, the correct language, and especially in the 60s, was Negro. If you were a dark-skinned person from Africa.
What would be analogous would be like if you found some archive in Egypt, and it was dated 1100 B.C.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Think about that one a little bit for our audience. Think about that. That's basically what it is.
Because Christ wasn't known to the Egyptians.
It's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Yeah.
Like if you found something from 1950 and it referred to the Internet or some type of terminology that didn't exist then. I mean, that's
right.
Precisely what it was.
We're living through 1984. The Orwellian novel. Now let me move on to video 3, which was immigration law. And this is something I've said myself. We have an open border with Mexico, a physically open border. You can walk across the border and have a, and also you can just go across the border and hire a doctor to swear that your child was born on the American side of the border, and you can get a fraudulent birth certificate that way. Well, Detective Zulu made the point, in which I have said before, Hawaiian laws are so loose that we have a paper border in the state of Hawaii. Anyone can go there under Hawaiian laws and say their child was born in Hawaii and become a U.S. citizen. Two aliens can just go there with a child that's 3 months old and just walk in and declare the child was born at home, and no witnesses. It doesn't even have to be a sworn affidavit. Just sign an affidavit saying my child was born with no witnesses, and I want to register their birth. And the child would be registered as born in Hawaii, and a birth record would be created. The birth record being created generates the newspaper announcements that are placed by the state's registration health department. So that the newspaper announcements are not an independent variable to prove birth in Hawaii. They are dependent on the registration of a birth, whether it's a hospital registration or a walk-in unsworn statement affidavit registration. So that's how those newspaper announcements got there. Somebody just walks in and says, I had a child. It doesn't even have to be the mother or father. It could, according to Hawaiian law in 1955 laws and regulations, and that was in effect until 1982, anybody could have declared they had a child born in Hawaii with no witnesses and want to be registered. And they believe that's what the grandmother did for Obama. Now, they didn't state that in the press conference, but that's what I understand happened. But that's what they're alluding to, that Hawaii, and these laws that allow this are still in effect today. So Hawaii's birth registration laws are a national security threat. Anyone.
In general,
in the world, can fly there with a newborn infant and walk in to the Hawaiian offices and register the child as a Hawaiian citizen with no proof required.
So what's very interesting here is that what you're really saying, and what the detective said yesterday, and what Sheriff Arpaio essentially is saying, is that if Barack Obama produced a valid Hawaiian birth certificate, no question about its authenticity, forgetting about the legal definition of natural born, which is another issue, obviously, which we don't need to get into now. But even if he provided a birth certificate 4 years ago that was the actual birth certificate, no question about authenticity,
Is not worth the paper it's printed in under Hawaiian laws, because anyone could have registered a foreign birth in Hawaii and you wouldn't know where the child was born. And under regulations, they are required to record the normal residence of the mother as the place of birth for these kind of walk affidavits. They don't, in other words, if somebody would have walked in and said, I had a child born in a foreign country while I was traveling and visiting on a vacation for 2 weeks, they wouldn't record that child in under Hawaiian law as born in Tahiti, say. They are required to record that child as born in Hawaii at the mother's normal place of residence. That's what's striking about Hawaiian law. The birth certificates that are coming out of Hawaii, and they have the only laws like this in the country, are so weak and porous that anyone can get a Hawaiian birth certificate, and did back then, they're not worth the paper to print of because there's no proof that the person actually was born in Hawaii. And they believe that Hawaii was complicit in doing this to get the population count up so they could get more federal funding based on the population count, you got more federal funding. Now let me move on to the fourth video, Hawaiian investigation, and there they talked about how they were stonewalled every place they went to, including going to the Kapalani Hospital, trying to go to the public archives to look at, do some research. They weren't allowed to go into the public archives. They were asked to leave the hospital. The police were called at the health department when they had registered with the local police that they were going to be going there to ask questions. So the police knew they were going to be there, yet the people in the health department called the police on them and reported them as, birthers are here. So that was a disgraceful example of the stonewalling that's going on.
So the people who were there were Mike Shulu.
They were scared.
I'm saying, who were the people who were actually there?
Well, Onaka was hiding under his desk. He wouldn't even come out. And the assistant attorney general, I guess, or whatever, finally did agree to talk to him. But she talked to them in cryptically and wouldn't at all confirm the document that Obama displayed on the White House servers is in any way the same thing that they gave the Obama lawyers when he picked it up. She just refused to say anything about confirming that they are one of the same. So it's this parsing going on again. And in fact, I guess Zulu said to her, well, if somebody took my driver's license and then photostated it and then altered it, is that altered document a real driver's license? And she said, well, no, but you still do have a real one. So in effect, she's saying they have a real record registration, which again, the grandmother could have just did in a sworn affidavit, but they won't say what it is. And we now know that the information that's displayed with those code numbers disagrees with what Obama's showing to the world. So there's actual document fraud being proved by electronic forensic analysis by digital experts, and also the document itself has contradictory information on it that contradicts itself right on the face. So you don't even have to look at the digital manipulation to prove it's a forgery.
Please,
and then
the final
video was on the sequence number on the Obama's alleged birth certificate, long form and the short form had the same number on it. It absolutely proves that was not issued by the hospital.
Okay, let's not get into any more detail because it's hard for people to follow this sometimes. And I mean, the fact that we're even getting into this detail is indicative of the level of frustration that's people.
Well, I was just going through what happened at the conference and the five things that they covered. So that's all I was doing in response to your question. And they can see it all at my blog. I gave my URL, commanderkirchner.wordpress.com.
I'm saying it's very simple. The bottom line is, if the Obama administration or the state of Hawaii wants to clear this whole issue of that April 14th long form so-called birth certificate, and it's the question of its authenticity, all they have to do, and without getting into all these details that we're getting into, all they have to do, as Sheriff Arpaio identified, is show us the microfilm that this document supposedly was generated from, the original microfilm from 1961. Just show us that, and like Detective Zulu mentioned, it needs
That's only one thing, Billy, but I'm talking to Billy, right? Billy, you were talking?
Yeah, Dan actually had a lead.
Oh, it was Dan. I'm sorry. What we've got now, though, is like a Watergate situation. The crime itself now is that the forgery was put on the White House servers. We've got to get, Arpaio saying, I don't know what to do with this next. You know, the press doesn't care. I don't know who to refer to. I sent him an email to Detective Zulu suggesting that they do a formal criminal referral to the Congress, to the Speaker of the House and Daryl Issa, with all the evidence and saying a crime has been committed on government property in the White House by placing a forged document on White House servers and then promulgating this to the world as being real. Not to say that Obama did it and not to attack Obama directly, but just that a crime has been committed using government property in the White House and to start an inquiry on this, just like they did with Fast and Furious, and find out who, when, what, where, why, and who was told to put it there, how did it get there, who uploaded it, who knows what, you know what I mean? That should be the next step, to get force the Congress to do in other words, we as the citizens have been telling Congress to do something. They've ignored us. Now, the sheriff, using sheriff public stationery and the officialdom of his office, should make a formal criminal referral to the Congress to do something. That should be the next step.
Well,
not just coming from a citizen, but a law enforcement agency saying a crime has been committed on federal government property, and we demand that Congress investigate who did what and when in the White House to get this forged document put on the servers.
Well, Commander Kurtz, let's move past this document. Just tell our audience, I didn't get to introduce you, so just give like about 30 seconds of your background and tell us how you feel about what's going on in this country, specifically about this issue, and what you think the ramifications of this issue are. And just tell us about your metamorphosis from 4 or 5 years ago.
Well, when I got into this 4+ years ago, I still had hope that this country, if you got the information of the right people, that this fraud that we now know Obama is a total fraud, but I suspected back in the early summer of 2008 was something wrong here, that the system would address it and that it would be revealed and that there's no way such a fraudulent criminal type person could ever be nominated and get elected in this country. But every system has failed, and the mainstream major media is the cause of this. They refused to vet him back then. In fact, they plowed the field for him and played defense for him, and keeping the American people and all our agencies and systems cowered in fear of them for being ridiculed. But as it progressed, I kept fighting and writing letters, and finally in January of 2009, I brought a lawsuit against Obama and the Congress. And because I sued the Congress, a couple of months later, that infamous secret CRS memo was generated so that they would have a defense to the lawsuit and to tell citizens when they wrote to them what to say when they all sang the same tune. So that was probably a reaction to my lawsuit of suing Congress. But we ultimately went to the Supreme Court, and they refused to every step of the way because of standing. They said, now that a single American citizen has standing to question the president's eligibility. And I was suing under the Natural Born Citizen Clause of the Constitution, meaning to be a natural born citizen, you must be born in the United States to two citizen parents. To be natural born citizen, you have to have citizen parents. That's what the natural word comes from natural law. Your citizenship was created at birth by the laws of nature, meaning your parents were citizens, not by some congressional statute after the fact that was creating citizens at birth by naturalization law, such as Title 8, Section 1401. But anyway, along the way, I've seen everything fail. I've become very disappointed and disillusioned with our country. I served my nation 33 years in the military, active in reserves, and took an oath to support and defend the Constitution. And quite frankly, now I'm rather disgusted by it all, that nobody in our, you know, the generals, Joint Chiefs of Staff, I've written to them, the Supreme Court, I've written to them, congressmen, the newspapers. I filed an action in Pennsylvania to try to keep Obama off the ballot there. They turned that away on lack of jurisdiction, claiming they don't have the ability to vet the president's eligibility, although the Congress, the Constitution of the United States gives the state the complete control of their election process. So they're all ducking the issue. You know, it's that guy over there behind the tree's responsibility, and there is nobody behind the tree. I mean, it's just, I don't know if that sums up what you wanted me to say, but if you want to learn more about what I've done the last 4 years, go to www.protectourliberty.org, protectourliberty.org, and you can see the numerous full-page ads I ran in the Washington Times and numerous articles I've written in radio interviews. So I've been fighting the battle. I truly believe truth and the Constitution will win in the end, but I'm afraid we're getting to the point where it's almost to the point where before the truth comes out, Obama will have severely damaged this constitutional republic. And I mean, it's possible he could be another Mussolini and some false flag thing happens between now and election day. We don't have an election. And if that happens, we're going to lose our republic, and we won't get it back without, well, you know what happens when dictators get in power. There's only one way they get out of power.
Yep. Yeah, well, Commander Kirshner, just very, very briefly, what is your take on Mitt Romney and his possible choice
Mitt Romney is a natural-born citizen. I'm a constitutionalist, so the politics aside, he wasn't my first choice for president, but he's like 1,000% better than Obama, and Mitt Romney is a natural-born citizen. His parents were citizens of the United States. His father wasn't a natural-born citizen, but you don't have to be a natural-born to procreate a natural-born. All you have to be is a basic citizen. You can have two foreign-born people come here, become naturalized citizens, and have a child in the United States. That child is natural-born and can be president.
Sure, we're just about out of time. Just very briefly.
Obama's father was a foreign national, by the way. Obama's father was never even an immigrant to this country.
And what do we do if Mitt Romney picks Marco Rubio for his running mate?
We oppose him.
Okay.
We oppose that. I think what you're faced with, though, is a lesser of two evils. From my perspective, if I only have those two choices, I would vote the lesser of the two evils.
Okay. Well,
what else can you do if you don't vote?
That's what kind of got us in this position to begin with. Commander Kirshner, it's been great.
Well, what can we do? We only have a two-party system, and the parties control everything. And if you don't vote, in effect, you're giving it to Obama.
Okay, Commander Kirshner, great having you on. We're out of time. This is Billy for Billy and Dan, and Commander Charles Kirshner. We'll see you next week. Billy and Dan
Thank
out.
God bless America. Bye bye.